Yes, 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 yes. We are back. We are back. We are back on the Grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir. And I got a guest who is, he's not a stranger. He's real life Milwaukee royalty. I say Milwaukee royalty because this man puts in a lot of work. He puts in so much work that he's not even here in Milwaukee as much. He's always moving around. We're going to get into it because, you know, one thing about you, and I'm going to say his name. I am going to say his name. Everybody calm down. I'm going to say his name. One thing about this brother is that he's a consummate professional. Every time I meet up with him, every time I see him, it is the same exact vibration. And that's what we have to live by in life, is vibrations and frequencies. Sean Hinton, the Sean Hinton. Man, y'all don't realize how important Sean Hinton is to Milwaukee. You are a musician.
Yes, sir. I'm a musician. I'm an artist. I'm mixing. I'm master. I do my own marketing. I do it all.
What?
Until I get the budget and everything opens up so I can hire people. But I'm learning on my own. And as I'm supposed to, though. What I'm saying? Like, I love learning.
That's right.
My grandfather said, God rest the dead, he said, the day that you feel like you know everything is the day that you are no longer needed on this earth.
Yeah.
He said, from earth to reward, now you're going to go on to heaven.
That's right.
So I'm forever a student. Forever.
Tell me about your granddad, because you quoted him, but we don't know him. And we would love to know him because we highlight ancestors.
Yes, sir. My grandfather was a pastor and bishop here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His name was Enoch Johnson.
Mm.
While he was a pastor, he also had a job. He worked for the city of Milwaukee water department.
Oh, work.
Yeah, man. And he was a singer. He was a guitarist. He had a group. My mom and my aunts, the name of the group was called Bishop Enoch Johnson and the Dynamic Blended Voices. My mom and my aunts played the accordion and they sung. And my grandfather was the lead singer. He was one of the first ones to help cultivate and shape my gift and ability as a guitarist and a drummer. Like, what? When I first learned how to play the guitar, my birth father, he gave me my first guitar. I took it back to Milwaukee because I was born in Rockford, Illinois, but raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I claim Milwaukee. All of my schools, I went there. But I brought the guitar back from Rockford to Milwaukee because I went to spend like a couple of weeks with my dad. Came back home, showed my grandfather the guitar. He strung it and showed me my first three chords.
What?
And that was it.
How old were you?
12.
Dang!
I was 12 years old.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, man, I was 12. Now, here's the funny thing. Before I was a guitarist, I was a drummer at my grandfather's church. Myself, along with my cousin, Afton Johnson.
Shout out to Afton Johnson.
Yes, the bass player. He plays sometimes for Eric Benet, Sheila E. But he's actually running his father's group. He goes under the alias of Willie Banks Jr. And the Messengers. They're doing something on the 27th in Jackson, Mississippi. But me and Afton used to share drum responsibilities until he got tired of sharing the drums with me.
Yeah.
So he learned how to play the bass. And I was like, oh, perfect. Now I can play the drums. But then the cousins underneath me, they wanted to play drums. And I was like, it's getting too crowded.
it's too crowded at the top.
It's getting too crowded. So let me get on guitar.
Yeah.
And my uncles played the guitar, grandfather played guitar, father played the guitar. So the fruit didn't fall far from the tree at all. So that's when I went and got the guitar from my dad. My father strung it up, and that was it. And it was on. I was off to the races.
Like, literally?
Literally. Like, I was getting, like, what do you call it? field experience yeah. in real time. I went right to the Lion's Den. Like, at my grandfather's church, my mom was a pianist.
Yeah.
Afton on bass.
Yeah.
Me on guitar. And then my little cousins on drums.
It's a family affair.
Exactly. So we was figuring it out.
On the job.
On the job, yes. And I suffered. My mom lives, she's from here, but she lives yeah. in St. Louis now.
Shout out to moms.
Deborah. That's my mama, Deborah Johnson.
Yeah.
Listen, my mom, if she was in Milwaukee right now and she was here with me, she would attest to this. I suffer from my craft. And I'm going to tell you what that means. So my bedtime every night was 8:30. I'm like in elementary school, middle school. Right. And I would close my bedroom door and listen to the radio. And at the time, like, you had V100,
yeah,
you had Hot 102.
Yeah. Oh, Hot 102.
Do you remember Hot 102?
Yeah, exactly.
And then 98.3 has started again. Probably. So I'm listening to songs on radio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just trying to work my way through it. Like, ooh, and then my mama would catch me and I get a whooping. Every time. Every time.
Yeah.
I get a whoop. My mama would spank my behind. And I think she just ended up giving up because I was so determined to be the best at what I did on guitar,
yeah.
even at the age of like 12. So she ended up buying me a guitar from, you remember Doc's Jury and Loan on Lisbon?
I remember.
That was I got my second guitar from Doc's Jury and Loan. It was a Echo, it's called EKO.
Mm.
It was red and black. My grandfather's favorite colors were red and black, which is why they're my favorite colors. I just thought about this. This is so crazy.
Yeah.
And it was it. And at that time, like, I was really, like, my grandfather was seeing, like, this boy is making progress.
What?
And that was it, man. And at the time, mm-hmm. I didn't know that I could do this professionally. It was something that I loved to do.
Yeah.
Just playing the guitar just was, to me, playing the guitar is just like someone who's gifted and talented with playing basketball or football or baseball.
Yeah.
So if you're playing basketball, you outside in the backyard shooting. I'm in my bedroom or I'm at church every chance I can get.
You miss those little outdoor sessions with your homies because you was,
I was because
because
guitar was my basketball.
Yeah.
That was mine. Like, that was my thing. So yeah. like and I think about it now, like even the hood I grew up in, the neighborhood I grew up on 22nd and Clark.
Mm.
And I had homies that was like real life street dudes.
Yeah.
Like young street dudes. And I wanted to hang with them sometimes. It was like, nah. You got a future, bro. Stay on the porch.
Oh.
Play music. Do that. Don't do this. And I'm so glad I listened to them, though.
Because some of them ain't around.
Because and the ones that are, we're the same age, but they look way older than me.
Yeah.
You know, people still tell me, like now, like when I'm out, Kelly Price always, she used to call me Babyface.
Yeah.
Babyface
Nelson.
That's
D. Kelly Price, y'all.
Because I used to play for her. And I seen her like maybe like a few years ago. She was like, Sean, you do not age. You do not age. I'm 47 now.
Damn, that's crazy.
Damn. But I don't look like it. I don't look like it. I'm 47 and I don't even look like it. Everybody be like, dude. And when I have conversation, I tell them about my kids, like, the youngest is 18, the oldest is 27.
Mm.
And they was like, you look like you 27. I said, well, I'm not.
Dang. You know, it's funny because
black don't crack.
Black don't crack.
You understand me?
Hey, look, and here's the thing. When you, and this is a part of our health, you know, kick here on this channel, is when you age and you don't age gracefully, it always shows up in some of the least obvious places, like your voice.
Yes.
Or your eyes.
Or your hands.
Or your hands. Yes. And like you start to realize, like, man, I'm getting an extra wrinkle or your back, right? Things that people really don't see or
yeah.
they really tell, but it's showing up in those places. Your voice sounds like you actually have preserved parts of your body. And that's amazing, too.
I'm grateful because my mama kept... Dude, I had to be in the house by the time the streetlight came on.
Oh, that right there? Man. Hey, Lee, you running, too?
Because I don't want no whooping. I don't. I don't want a whooping. And And that stuff followed me. It followed me because people that I meet, artists that I work with, and everybody, like you said, the intro that you get, like, this dude is consistent. The energy is consistent.
Yep.
Everybody says that. And I pride myself on that because I'm forever a student again. You know what I'm saying? So my grandfather, another lesson my grandfather taught me when I was a shorty, he says, the humble don't stumble.
The humble don't stumble.
The humble don't stumble. And that stick with me. It sticks with me to this day.
That's a cold book title too. The humble don't stumble.
The humble don't stumble, man. Yeah.
Hey, y'all, when we come back, we got the Sean Henson. We got a lot of stuff going.
Man, got time?
We ain't got much time.
Dang.
We got like an hour, 2 hours, whatever, man. We just going to go to tomorrow. You in the Great Vibe with Manon Sabir and Sean Henson.
Yes, sir.
We come right back.
Yeah.
It's an easy kind of day. The sun is shining, and I'm chilling with my loved ones. It's the perfect kind of day, and from ear to ear I'm smiling while the children have fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad I ain't got nothing planned to do, and I ain't got nowhere to be. I think I'll throw something on the grill, cause later on I'm trying to eat. Well, I'm all right,
I'm all right.
If you're all right,
you're all right.
You can go anywhere you like. But as for me, if you don't mind, I'ma post up right here and unwind.
I'm chilling on Gucci,
Gucci, baby.
And that's the way I like it.
That's the way that I like it.
But wherever the phone winds blow me, I don't care.
I don't care.
I'll be so delighted.
I will be so delighted. Yeah. You would think it was a Saturday, the way that I'm so chill right now.
Hey, look. Hey, y'all. Yo, listen. This is wild. Y'all don't realize. Real quick. Before we even go through it. Before we even move forward. Sean, you're infectious. And I want to know. And give me a list. Because people don't really know.
Who all I've worked with.
There we go.
I hate doing it.
Let me take this off.
Okay. Let's go to the very, very, very beginning, right? My first artist that I worked with was Dave Hollister.
I like that.
Dave Hollister was one of the singers in the band Blackstreet with Teddy Riley.
Yep.
That was the artist that put me on the map. Shout out to my boy Rexel Hardy from Chicago. Drummer and musical director. I sent him a videotape. This is how far back this goes. This is like 2002.
A videotape.
VHS. I had a VCR. I sent him a VHS videotape. FedEx it to him of me playing with Rodney Cunningham from Milwaukee.
Who's Rodney Cunningham?
Rodney Cunningham is a hometown artist who now pastors, but he is one of the greatest singers in the city of Milwaukee.
Wow.
In my opinion, and I understand that everything is subjective, but Rodney Cunningham is super cold. Like, he can still sing range out of this world. Super crazy.
Whoa.
And I was 18, 19? Oh, no, I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
When I played with Rodney, we did a live recording at I can't think of the name. It's over here, the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah.
It was one of the small rooms, and we did that. I sent Rex that videotape. He called me. He's like, hey, man, I got a gig for you. The only thing is you got to leave Monday. And I was like, bet. And at the time, I was a medical records clerk at Columbia Family Care Center.
Really?
I called my boss on a Saturday. Her name is Annette Gagno. And I said, hey, Annette, guess what? She said, what? I said, I made it. Because I thought I made it. I believed in my heart that I made it.
Yeah.
I'm going on tour with a big artist, so I got to quit. And she was like, best of luck to you, Sean. And I never looked back. So Dave Hollister, that was the thing that put me on the map.
Yeah.
And then while I was on the Dave Hollister, we did this tour called the Hennessy Privilege Tour. It was Dave Hollister, Kelly Price, Glenn Lewis, Black Coffee. And when I say, everybody was like, who was that guitar player? Kelly Price manager, Kelly Price. Her manager at the time was her husband, Jeffrey Rowe. Mm-hmm. He asked me, yo, what are you doing after this tour is over? I said, nothing. I'm going to go home and try to find me another job. And then Glenn Lewis, manager, same thing. So I was home literally for maybe like a month, and then I started getting phone calls. I did 106 in Park with Kelly Price. Then yeah. I did the Why Did I Get Married play. I toured with Glenn Lewis. That opened up a door for me to play for Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child.
Mm.
From Destiny's Child, I did 112, Patti LaBelle. And then I get the phone call to do Mary J. Blige in 2004. Shout out to Rex L. Hardy again. Rex called me. He's like, yo, you about to get a phone call from this guy named Huggy, Michael Huggy Carter. He's like, he's finna call you. Mary's putting a new band together.
Mm.
And I was like, what? And at the time, I was on a gospel tour. So I got the phone call, and it was on. I flew to New York after from that tour, auditioned in front of Mary, got the job, and that's when everything started opening up. We did a live taping at the Gibson Amphitheater in Universal Studios, mm-hmm. and everybody, that DVD was at Target, Walmart, Kmart, Best Buy. So everybody is seeing this. I still get people to this day, young musicians, they was like, dude, that's what made me want to do what I do.
Wow.
Watching you. My homeboy Q, Quentin Gullish from Milwaukee, mm-hmm. he is currently on tour with Bruno Mars.
Really?
He went to Milwaukee High School of the Arts because I went to Milwaukee High School of the Arts. And I did a master class there. And Quentin he'll tell people like Sean and Tim Williams, Raw Biz, God rest the dead,
yeah,
are the reasons why I do what I do.
Mm.
So Mary J. Blige from Mary J., Angie Stone, Jill Scott, John Legend, and the K-pop artist Rosie.
Mm.
And that's been it. Now I'm doing my own thing as an artist. Got dropping my 9th album next month. Last year, I was considered for a Grammy nomination for my album, Khadijah.
Yo, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell y'all. I rocked that album. Yo, I even started working out to that album.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I was down in Miami at the time. And that album came out, I don't know, what year did it come out?
2024.
Yes.
2024.
Yes. Yeah, so I was in Miami and I remember, I don't know how I caught it. It might have been on your Facebook page or some social mm-hmm. media point. And I hit it, you know, uploaded whatever. And I went outside and I just started running. And man, I ran possibly from like 25th down 25th and Collins and on Miami Beach down to the South Point, like to the park, South Beach, like past South Beach and back. And I remember like listening to it and it just was like, this is the most beautiful music I've heard in a while.
And you know what's crazy? It took me so long. Like, the span of the music that I've done as an artist,
yeah,
I was always searching for my sound.
Mm-hmm.
Gucci, I got close to it. Mm-hmm. Then I veered off because the environment that I hung around, like my bros who I tour up and down the road with, they're artists as well. So yeah. I was trying to be this, you know, I was trying to be another Chris Brown or a Johnny Gill, right? So the music that I was doing, it was urban, it was R&B, it was that.
Yeah.
But when I went through what I went through, man, because right after I dropped that album, man, that's when I got colon cancer.
Oh.
We were supposed to do a live show, and then I had to go to the hospital.
What? So in.
You want to talk about that now?
Yeah. And we got like 3 minutes before we take a break.
Okay.
But in that, when you, how did it come about where you figured something was wrong?
I was in Paris and I was in Japan. and I was having this abdominal pain on my right side, and I thought it was like a pulled muscle. So for like 2 months, I started feeling the pain in November.
Yeah.
And then November, December, December I had to go to New York to do Jimmy Fallon with the K-pop artist Rosie. And then I went to LA to rehearse to go to Paris in Japan. And I'm feeling this pain. So I'm just like, okay, what's going on? So I finally, like when I finally got home, I went to urgent care. And they thought it was a pulled muscle. They thought it was my gallbladder. And then they was like, well, we don't see what's going on. So I had to get a CT scan. And they said, Mr. Hinton, we are 100% positive that you have colon cancer. And when he said that, I was like, okay. And he left. And they was like, so we need to have emergency surgery. We need to rush you to the hospital. I said, my son will take me to the hospital. I don't want to take the ambulance. But when the nurse left, I sat in my room. I did not cry. I was not sad. I said, God, thank you. Thank you for everything that I've been privileged to do. You've allowed me to see things that the average person my age would never see, or someone who grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in one of the most messed up, with it. What's the zip code?
53206.
I grew up over, you hear me? I said, so if this is it, God, if this is it, thank you. If this is it, I'm ready. I'm good. But if it's not, let's get it. I'm ready.
And you ain't accept defeat. When y'all come back from break, when we all come back from break, and we want to pick some more grapes and tune into the grapevine, we're going to have our brother Sean Hinton in the building again.
Yeah.
We ain't going to stop. We ain't going to stop until we get to the top.
Yes, sir.
We might stop freestyling.
Yeah.
This moment in time, now that we're doing more than laying, I won't lie, I'm enjoying this ride.
I found my voice with this album with Khadijah.
Are you serious?
I found it, bro. Like,
I was surprised that you came from behind the guitar and started singing, but
dog, listen. See, for me, Khadijah.
Tell me about finding your voice. Go ahead.
Khadijah helped me find my voice. And it was so crazy because Alex, my brother and best friend, was like, bro, this is our D'Angelo voodoo.
Whoa.
This is our D'Angelo. Like, this is Milwaukee's D'Angelo's voodoo. Like,
yeah.
This is one of the most quintessential albums. Like, this is one of the dopest albums that you ever dropped. I had to tap into who I naturally was. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you've heard me when I clown around, when sing.
Yeah.
Right? When I I do all of that. And so I just took that and organically created music that catered to the way that I sing and act. So like, you don't even know if I'm being serious when I'm singing.
Right.
Cause I told you one of my greatest ad libs right now that I stick, I'll be like, yeah. I'll be like, people will say something. You all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah. And that's what it was. And that's how I found my voice. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like, I'm a church boy at heart. I grew up in church.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a pastor. I used to listen to him squall. So that was just easy. It was a no brainer to do. So Khadijah was birthed from that. And then I think one of the biggest things with Khadijah, and I knew I had hit something, because I was in South Africa with Jill Scott, and I was with the homies, and I was like, yo, can I press play? Because I had like a few songs that I was starting on. And they was like, yeah. And the song right there, baby. Jill walked in. She was like, what is this? Who is this? I said, that's me. She's like, that's how you talk to a bee.
What?
She said, when you said right there, she said, that's how you talk to a female. That's how you talk to a John.
Ooh.
I said, okay, I know I got some. I'm on to some.
And when them Philly people say John,
that's it.
That's it.
that's it. That's done. She was like, who is this? I was like, that's it. So now everything from Khadijah on up has just been organically me. Gold medallion, that's all me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's organically me. Mouthpiece that drops next month, that's organically me.
Your infectious smile, your infectious benevolence and humility is it shines through. When did you, and within all of that, when did you start worrying about yourself? You know how people say you gotta, you know, you can't necessarily worry about everybody else. You gotta worry about, you know, what's going on. You gotta put your mask on before you start saving everybody. And you seems like you learned that early because you started figuring out how to do the guitar.
Yeah.
And you had to be like almost OCD and delusional. You had to be really delusional.
You have to.
In order to make this thing happen with this thing with a string.
I can't let the world take control of me. To quote a song, right? And I was just watching the Earth, Wind, and Fire documentary that Questlove did. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it. I need to.
Beautiful. But you know the song Way of the World? Heart is, that's the way.
Yeah.
There's a lyric, and I saw it yesterday, and I thought about it. And it says, a child is born with a heart of gold. Mm-hmm. Way of the world makes it turn cold. I could have easily let this world make me cold. And it did for a season in my valley.
Yeah.
My heart was cold, man. I was hurt. I was dealing with a whole lot. But I had to have some sort of naivete. Is that a word? And if it ain't, it is now.
Yeah.
But I had to be naive to certain things, which is why, Manon. Yeah. Do you know I don't watch the news like that? You know what I watch?
What's that?
Cartoons. I'm watching cartoons, bro, because I know I need to be informed of what's going on, but yeah. I don't want the what's going on around the thank you. I can't let what's going on with the world affect me because I feel things. I'm an empath. I'm learning. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of stuff that I experience, or if I have a conversation with somebody and what they're going through and what they're dealing with, I feel that, and then that affects me. So I have to get away. I have to get away from people, and I just got to be in my own world and let it shine through my gift and my ability in anything and everything that I do, even with how I deal with people.
And you deal with people from... How do you deal with people?
Man, with arms wide open, but I know where to place them when if we going against the grain or something. I will agree to disagree with you. Cause I look at everything from the perspective of, listen, this is all subjective.
Yeah.
It's all subjective. My opinion is subjective. Your opinion is subjective. And I think what makes life a little bit more easier to deal with is when you're not trying to I'm not trying to persuade you to my side. My boy Teddy Campbell told me this back in 2006. He said, dude, we are called to be a light. That's all we're called to do. We're called to be a light. He said, Sean, does a light make noise? I said, nah, I never hear a light. He said, only time you hear a light make noise is if something's wrong with it and it's about to pop or go out, about to blow.
That's right.
But all we got to do is just be a light. So I'm going to be a light around everybody that I come across. I'm going to be a light. And if you ain't trying to be a light, that's fine. I don't mind sharing some of my light with you. I don't mind because, you know, we're helpers one ye to another. I want to help in any way that I can. If it's me singing something, playing something, because I've really, like, I never forget me and my brother's Shotgun, we played a blues festival in Wisconsin. And one of the songs we did, the name of the song is called We Will Survive. And the lady told me after we had got through playing, she said, that song touched my heart. She said, I'm a breast cancer survivor. That's what she told me. She said, and your song, it touched me. It touched me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Because people don't realize that cancer cells can be turned on and off due to the mood and the environment that they live in. So if you have a cancer cell cancer cells can be either good and or bad. So they either shrink or they expand. That's what a cancer cell does. If you have a happy spirit, it can affect the cancer cell,
mm-hmm.
either enlarging it, right?
Yeah.
With toxins, and or you take the toxins out and it decreases it. You were able to happen to tap into that happiness regularly.
And I did it without chemo and radiation.
That's cold.
I did it without
chemo or radiation.
They wanted me to. This doctor tried to, he's like, do not let him leave until we can do this. And Chad, my brother,
yeah,
linked me with Cersei. You know who Cersei
yeah,
is?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Cersei yep. plugged Down me with Atlanta. Dr. Sabi's grandson.
Wow.
And a good friend of mine here, and I'm going to say his name because I don't care. He's my brother and I love him.
Yeah.
John Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
John Daniels III.
Yeah, shout out to John.
Shout out to John.
Yep.
John said, whatever you need, just let me know.
Mm.
And at the time, I was down. You know, so I'm in the hospital, so I didn't know.
And I need it.
And he was like, just tell me how much it is. And I got my pack. I got my pack from Dr. Sabi's grandson, and I took that stuff.
You went to work.
I went to work. I changed my eating habits. I changed it all. And when I went to the doctor, they would check everything. They was like, oh, my God, how are you losing weight? And your blood pressure is this and that. And it's like, this is a complete turnaround.
Mm.
And they was like, we still want to monitor it, but this is keep up whatever you're doing, keep up the good work. And that was it, because I know, dude, I got rid of my microwave. I threw my microwave in the garbage. I said, I don't want nothing that's going to kill me. And I know the food here in the United States, they trying to kill us.
Yeah. Man, listen.
That stuff is outlawed overseas where I be at.
You already know. You already know. You go to Europe, it's like four ingredients in ketchup.
Exactly. But the ketchup here.
Oh, man. It's, man.
You can't, I can't even yeah. pronounce the word.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to look for a ketchup. Right. Yeah, right. Maltodextrin.
Yeah.
Sucralose.
Glucose. All that. I'm like, come on, man. So, from that pack to just watching how I ate and then just making sure. Because, you know, at the time, man, before the cancer had happened, I went through a divorce, grieving a person that still walks the earth, somebody that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, and to lose that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That messed with me. I was depressed. I was suicidal.
Mm.
That was my valley. That was my valley. I was I was dealing with stress after stress after stress after stress, and I had to somehow maintain. Thank you, man. I had to somehow maintain a positive spirit. And I did the best that I could.
Mm.
I really did. But, you know, I guess it was my season to go through what I was going through. And I had to allow, my therapist told me, she said, Sean, you know, this is a season in your life where you're going to have to sit in this.
Yeah.
You're going to have to sit in it. And it scared me. It spooked me. Because I didn't understand what that meant. But the more I dealt with myself,
mm-hmm.
my grandfather used to say this. He said, every time you point a finger at somebody, you got three pointing at you and one yep. thumb to the sky. So it's really between you and God. You figure it out.
Yep.
So now I'm taking a long, hard look at myself in the mirror. And I'm always able to check myself. Always, to this day now.
I learned something going through things that we have gone through. In our short lives, but long,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
lives. And I see a pattern, especially in this day and age where people have gone through. I know so many people, and not just like a handful. I'm talking about a couple handfuls,
mm-hmm.
have gone through divorce, cancer, lowest of the low, hit the rock bottom,
rock bottom,
nothing, and then like they just start climbing up. Mike Tyson said something, and we're gonna take a break after this. Mike Tyson said on one of his podcasts, he said we already know Mike Tyson was at the top. He had mm-hmm. lots of money. He still got money coming in, But he was saying that when he was, after that, he was down at the bottom and was going to the top. He said sometimes he would sabotage himself because he liked to climb up. And
wow.
So what he was saying, here's the crazy part, was like as he was climbing up, he liked that feeling of, man, I'm almost at the top. And all I got to do is do these two things and I'm making it to the top. What I've learned in this so far in this interview is that you're like right there.
And I feel it.
And you feel it. It's one of the greatest. Being at the top, we know how it feels. You had the money in the world. You had, you know, this over here, the family, all that. You had all that. But it being broke down and coming back to the top and being almost right there, and you actually see where you want to be, like you're designing that, you have already designed the top, and you're like there. But we're gonna discuss the top in a minute.
Yes, sir. Let's get it. Let's get it. I'm here.
Stay tuned. We got Sean Hinton on the Grapevine in the Truth Radio Station Studios 101.7. Stay tuned. Y'all don't realize that Sean got me in here. He got me in crying, man. I'm over here. Man, I don't even know where we was at. It's a whole mess over here. He had me got, I'm at a loss for words at your journey.
Yes, sir.
Like, man, you've done a lot. Death Row? Tell me about Death Row.
Please, I want to talk about Death Row because I put it out in the universe.
Y'all don't know.
I put it out in the atmosphere. And here's the thing. So one of my homeboys, his name is Charlie Burrell, one of the many dopest guitarists and artists out of California. Like, I met Charlie. He was in a 50 grand band that played with 50 Cent and played with Tweet, that played with all of them. So Charlie is one of my favorite guitar players, but he's an artist as well.
Mm.
And I've been following his career ever since he picked up the mic and started singing, because he always knew how to sing. But he's one of the artists on Death Row. So I'm like, yo, this is going to happen. And everybody that knows me and knows my music now, everybody's like, yo, Sean, you fit the aesthetic of Death Row. Because you got to think, their roster is October London.
Yep.
The new artist, her name is Jane Hancock. Look her up.
Hey.
Jane Hancock. She
Zach, we got a picture of Jane Hancock.
She is an amazing singer. Amazing. So it's October London, it's Jane Hancock, it's Charlie Burrell. I just found out Dave Hollister is signed to Death Row.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
I said, so listen. So I have been just kind of inquiring about it. I've been talking to Jane Hancock on Instagram. Like me and her just kind of been going back and forth. I've been sending her my mail. Like, I just want you to listen to it. Just let me know what you think about the music. She's like, Sean. She said, this is magical, man. Like, this music is amazing. She's like, I can't make no promises. I said, I'm not looking for you to make promises. I just want you to hear it. I'm planting seeds.
Yeah.
Seeds are being planted. And then I made that post. And a couple of homies called me. One homie hit me on, they both DM'd me on Facebook Messenger. And one guy said, I know a homie that runs Death Row, but he consults for Death Row.
Yeah.
I got a meeting with him Tuesday. When I get to Vegas.
What?
And then my homeboy, his name is Corte Ellis. That's my dog. This is Missy Elliott's cousin. Me and him did Jill Scott together. He was like, I got Snoop's email. He sent me the email that night. Man, listen, I sat at my computer and tried to, I took my time. I wanted to formulate the email. And make sure that I led with my best four records. I started the email like, hey, Unc, what's good? It's your nephew.
Right.
Right. And just tell him like, man, I feel like I am the next artist for Death Row. So y'all hearing it here first. You hearing it out my mouth. The next time y'all see me, the next time I'm on this show, I will be signed to Death Row. I'm speaking it.
Listen.
Because Snoop going to hear this.
Snoop, you got to hear Sean Hinton. Hey, this is he. If you been Snoop, last time I saw you, you was at the Riverside Theater. I think your uncle came on stage. We was talking about Young, Wild, and Free.
Yes, sir.
You know, we still that. And Sean is still Young, Wild, and Free. So
Young, Wild, and
you gotta
free,
have
baby.
You gotta have him on the label, man. I know it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be so dope because my music fits the aesthetic of what Snoop has shaped Death Row to be now. Like, Charlie Burrell, listen to his album, man. It's funky.
Yeah.
It's real music. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Jane Hancock music. She got a song called Save All Your Love For Me.
Yeah.
Like, it's that sweet, beautiful, like, and then you bring me in with the spirit of Ronald Isley and Maurice White and
Enoch Johnson.
And Enoch Johnson. Like, all of this wrapped up in one. That's who I am. Just me being authentically myself. Musically, it's real music. It's something that you can step and move to. And Death Row will be the label that pays me.
Death Row is the label that pays me.
You know what? And the crazy thing, I had a dream. I had a dream that I was signed to Death Row.
Yo, manifestation. We were just talking about this yesterday with Mamuno Yusuf, Mumu Fresh. And so she was like, I manifested myself in, I think, 2019. She was talking about how she manifested herself on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she got that track with AZ.
Yes, sir. Come on.
That manifestation.
Manifestation is everything. The dream was, I had posted. I said, I can finally say with authenticity that Death Row is the label that pays me. I posted that in my dream. And then I woke up. I was like, yep, I'm going to be signed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Snoop, if you listening, somebody call Snoop Somebody call Snoop. Tell him to call in 833-212-1017. 833-212-1017. Look, we got Sean Hinton in the building. He's going to round us out on the second hour. Just give us a little bit more of his life.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to come right back on the Grapevine. Go get something to eat. Go get something to drink. Come right back. We're going to pick some more grapes with the Sean Hinton.
Yeah. Boom. Yes, sir.